sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up.
Episode 103. Smell the smoke from all around. Burn, Hollywood, burn. I smell a riot going on. First the guilty, now they're gone. Yeah, I'll check out a movie. Yeah, I will check out a movie, but it'll take a black one to move me. Get me the hell away from this TV. All this news and views are beneath me. So all I hear about is shots ringing out about gangs putting each other's head out. So I'd rather kick some slang out. All right, fellas, let's go hang out. Hollywood, or would they not make us look bad like I know they had. But some things I'll never forget, yeah. So step and fetch this shit. For all the years we look like clowns, the joke is over. Smell the smoke from all around.
Message.
Burn, Hollywood, burn. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. Podcast. Attends, je baisse le volume parce que c'est un peu fort dans les oreilles. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzard, aka B Dot Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to inform you new listeners that this podcast, this particular podcast, happens to be protected by the red, the black, and the green, and weighs a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Who's your blues up in this bitch? I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on August 16, 2023. On a Wednesday, it's 8 p.m. It's a little warm up in here. Wish I could turn on the AC, but, you know, I respect the audience. I respect your listening pleasure. And, yeah, cut that. Get the time, check. Location, check. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. I should probably add this final thought is, okay, hold on. Let's not jump the gun here. All right, okay. For those of you not familiar, my shows, these podcast episodes, are usually broken down into three acts. The first one is the introduction, which is what we're in right now, and followed by my news and random thoughts. And last is final thoughts. Introduction, I just, get to know you, talk about dates, and read out some quotes, and then, you know, think of it as a foreplay, kind of thing like that, right? Yeah, foreplay. Are you saying you're trying to fuck us? Yeah, that didn't come out wrong. No, I'm saying I'm just trying to warm up the crowd here. Yeah, all right. So today's quote, shout out, excuse me, to my man Talal Macy, as usual. Most of the quotes I read out come from one of his tweet of Instagram posts. And the one I picked this time, only because it related to something my therapist said at her last session, something similar to something she was saying, right? And I think it's more of the first sentence of this quote by Nathaniel Brandon. I don't know who Nathaniel Brandon is. I'm not going to Google him because, you know, I might get disappointed. I don't know who he is. But again, this is one of those, the message, not the messenger. Focus on the message. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So, the quote goes, "Of all the judgments you make in life, none is as important as the one you make about yourself." That first sentence is probably the most powerful portion of this quote. I'll read the rest of it, but that's the one that got my attention. "Of all the judgments you make in life, none is more important than the one you make about yourself. The difference between low self-esteem and high self-esteem is the difference between passivity and action, between failure and success." Now, I am not here to preach to you about failure and success, Mailer, because I am not the guy to preach to you about. Oh, I mean, the only thing I know about success is nothing succeeds like success. But this ain't a self-help podcast. What I'm getting at is the most important part, the one thing that I've grown into, or I've learned to realize, is that of all the judgments you make in life, none is more important as the one you make about yourself. What's that quote by Marcus Garvey? He said something like, "If you have a low self-esteem, if you have a low opinion of yourself, you've lost the game of life." I'm fucking it up. I just don't want to Google it because intros are supposed to be short. The one thing I do on this podcast is, the one thing I do on this podcast is I am learning to be a better friend to myself, to be a better ally to myself. It's something I had to unlearn. I grew up with this notion that, you know, everyone is more important than you. You're here to serve. And it's all kind of twisted understanding about life. This is not a blame on anyone or anything. I'm just saying, as I grew up in life, as I made my own observation, as I took in words from other people, I end up reaching the conclusion that everyone is more important than you, your happiness, your thoughts. You don't exist. It's like the whole idea of service, being in service of everyone. It's like, shut the fuck up. You're here to serve. Kind of like a slave. So I'm just saying, I went from that to now this, to realizing that you can't be a true friend to other people until you can be a better friend to yourself. Look, you can't consider yourself a good person if you're a shitty person to yourself. That's basically what I'm getting at. So I'm saying the idea of developing a higher opinion of yourself, a better judgment of yourself, I get it. I finally get it. With that said, on this podcast, even though my mind might be the negative self-talk or at me, when I'm on this podcast, I commit myself for the time I record to be a better friend to myself. That means being patient, being kinder. If you fuck up, get a little dust yourself and get back up. But, you know, so on this podcast, you're an ally. Outside of this podcast, I do go back to business. Well, people, shouldn't you be an ally to yourself all the time? You're correct. You would be correct. But this is like, I'm developing that muscle. So on this podcast, this is as great as I get. All right. Okay. So before we jump to use a random thought, I am going to I'm going to play a clip. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but this little nigga made me laugh. I said, before I start, I feel like this might, I'm going to turn this into a clip. Do you know the name? So this is famous black Trump supporter. Yeah, I know. I don't usually play their content, but this time this nigga made me laugh, right? The name is Terrence K. William, and he's a goofy ass nigga. He's goofy. He's really, literally a goofy. Sometimes I think it's all an act, and what he does is all an act, but whatever. That's not the point. But, so apparently, I'll read the headline. He's reacting to Georgia grand jury returns indictment in Trump 2020 election case, and he's pissed. He's a black Republican, and he's pissed. Like if I'm trying to imitate that Keel and Peele skit, I'm a black Republican. I'm pissed. You know what? I can't do it right. Hold on. Let me just see if it comes up if I do black Republican. Republican. Yeah. Black Republican. Was it Keel and Peel? Come on. Right, come on, Tippa. So Keel and Peel. I misspelled. Oh, Key and Peel. Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah, here we go. In case you haven't heard this, this shit is too funny. There we go.
Hello, and welcome to the 5th annual meeting of the Tallahassee Black Republicans. Now, I'm pissed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Royally pissed. Mm-hmm. Last November, Barack Obama was reelected president, and the black vote went almost entirely to him. Mm-hmm. We're not getting our message out.
Okay, I'll leave it in the show notes because if you haven't seen it, wow, where have you been all your life? But I'll leave it in the show notes. But yeah, I'm pissed. Black Republicans are always pissed, right? They're pissed that they're black. They're pissed that they're not white. They're pissed that all other black people don't respect them. They're pissed that other black people don't listen to them. They're pissed that Jesus ain't here yet. They're pissed about it. They fucking can't be happy. Yo, if you're married to a black, if you have a friend who's a black Republican, don't try to make them happy, man. Their birthday comes up, don't get them shit, because they're just going to be pissed. Pissed. Anyway, yeah. So, in the spirit of Black Republican. Anyway, yeah. So, right now he's about to say some shit that, okay, I'm just going to play it, and it's 30 seconds. So, hopefully it makes you laugh like it made me laugh, all right? Because this little nigga made me laugh. That's the whole point. Made me laugh, all right? I feel like this is a theme. This should be a theme for the rest of this episode. So, here we go. You know, I should preload this shit, but whatever. I'll think about that later. And here we go. Here we go.
I'm giving y'all a fair warning right now. If you are sensitive, you ain't gonna like this video.
You ain't gonna like this video.
Because I'm sick of holding back.
Shit.
A lot of people are not gonna like this, but I'm.
Yeah, I gotta pause. I didn't know he was the type to hold back. If you know Karen's K. Williams, you would have never guessed he was the type to, like, mince his word. But here we go.
Sick of holding back. Sick of not saying what I really want to say.
Say what
I'm sick and tired of keeping it clean. I can no longer keep it clean.
Mm-mm.
On here at all. Mm-mm. I can no longer hold back that I really want to say.
Uh-huh.
I can no longer say these things behind closed doors.
Mm.
I'm no longer keeping it clean.
Keeping it
so,
clean.
Excuse my language,
uh-oh.
Okay?
You ready?
But what's going on with President Trump is a bunch of bullshit.
All right, that's it. Okay. I'll let you guess what he says after that. But, oh, yeah, he does say fuck the Democrats and some shit like that and yada, 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 yada. But I think I might make this into a sound clip. I don't know. I'm thinking about it, right? But with that said, 12 minutes in my intro. Whatever. I went 2 minutes over. Fuck it. Remember, be black. Be kind to yourself. Let's jump up. Yeah, let's jump. Let's jump. All right, second act. Let's do this. Here we go. Bam, 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 bam. That's it? Okay, all right. First item on the docket. All right, now, this one is labeled as something Sister Lene said. All right, now, two reasons I'm playing this clip. First reason is because I believe I mispronounced her name on previous episodes. Also, when I presented these clips, I don't think I gave her the honors. I think I was talking about her like she's some commoner when she's a fucking queen. And I don't feel like I put some respect on her name. Two, from what I understand, she came off vacation to record this clip. And in clear. Okay, for those of you who don't know Sister Lene, she's the every Friday parking lot. What's it called? Parking lot. I'm gonna keep it black, but I'm gonna keep it brief. That lady, right? That woman. Anyway, yeah. So she felt the need. She shares her thoughts about the Alabama brawl. What, be black? We gonna talk about that shit again? Yeah, we gonna fucking talk about that shit again. That's right. You're on a black podcast. What the fuck did you think? August 5th. Anyways, yeah. So, Sister Lily's thoughts on the August brawl, and it might shock you. Here we go. Oh, right. Oh, here we go. It's loading. I swear, it's loading.
You wanna talk? You wanna run your mouth? Uh-huh. You want some gangsters from your motherfucking house? We'll set this bitch up. They said enough is enough. Why rough and get stuck? Why nuck? It's a must. Why nuck? If you buck, why? I need cookouts on August 5th for the rest of our lives. Mark your calendars. I need kids in the unhoused getting free haircuts. Uh-huh. I need step competitions and J-Set battles in a neighborhood near you. They wanted to put white people on the Juneteenth flyers? Cool. Because this one's for the... strictly for the...
niggas.
This one's for the... what? The real... y'all already know what I'm talking about. Them shirtless boys, mm-hmm. skip to their loo. Aquaman said, I will cross the ocean for you. Woo! And calling that boy Scuba Gooding Jr. is nuts, and somebody need to tear your ass up. I personally favor calling it the Battle of Montgomery, and let me tell you why. Number one, let's talk about the dock that man worked on. Emphasis on worked. That black man labored for a commercial company derived from the ancestral grounds where black people were commercially traded on the Alabama River. The staff on that steamboat labored on a vessel that literally carried enslaved people and dropped them off at said dock to be sold and separated from their families. Mm. Oh, but the violence! What Chris Tucker say? I don't give a fuck. Look here, let me tell you something. We are elated. We are ecstatic about this footage. And contrary to popular belief that black people are inherently violent, so we would just want to see other black people be violent, no. Mm. We're happy because we got to see other black people be free. Glory. Black people free to defend themselves. Free to meet every action with an equal and opposite reaction. Free to come to the defense of one another. Free to express their rage. It is as much cathartic as it is revolutionary. I could literally cry. And for them to do it so freely without the threat of dying is soul-stirring. It ignites the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Nonviolence was the most effective option in the mid-1900s because hanging was a sport. It was a pastime, period. And the judge, the jury, the executioner, and the police took part in the hunt. Nonviolence has functioned as a barometer for propriety and decorum for so long that many of y'all have confused what was once a strategy for intentional passiveness. When ain't nothing about us ever been meek. White people have actively tried to convince you that violence does not get you anywhere, all the while using violence to get them everywhere since 1492 because they dread the day you choose to wield violence against them. Talk to them. Now, with that said, ain't nobody telling y'all to go around cracking heads, Unc. Because let's not act like y'all wasn't lucky that nobody had no guns out there. And back to you, Unc, because I understand that you've been waiting on this moment all your life. But the fight could have gone longer if you did not whack-a-mole that lady. The gender ratio was doing perfectly fine until you went in on the overkill. Which brings me to my favorite part of the whole video. I don't want to ever hear talk about black women don't support black men ever again. Because not only did my sisters get a few minks on them white boys, but they kindly peeled every single white woman off of y'all and took the miscreants to task so y'all didn't have to put your hands on no ladies. Uh-huh. And here's the thing. If you missed it, the reason why so many people flocked to the hat signal, why old boy crossed the ocean for us, was not just so they could get a few licks in on this gloriously historic day. It was because if nobody jumped in, uh-huh. those four white men would have killed that security guard and or severely hospitalized that man, leaving his life and the people in his life severely impacted. And this is what we mean when we say black lives matter. The entitlement of white people has been so pervasive that black Americans have had to choose to play small. They have had to choose to turn the other cheek, have had to choose to reverse the natural flow of outrage for survival, storing it in the pits of their stomachs, compartmentalizing in the most fragile parts of their brains, so when it does leak out, it usually never makes it to the people, the channels, the institutions that deserve their rage, but hits oh so wrongly on the people that surround them. And even then, choosing to play small doesn't always save them. Now, I know this event will do nothing but embolden the good old boys in the small towns on the lynching sites with Jason Aldean that would have wanted to kill us anyway, but hopefully it'll knock some sense into the Karens and Kevins that never really wanted to smoke in the first place. Because what Stokely Carmichael say? All the scared niggas are dead. Whoa. I'm supposed to be on vacation, damn it. Carter, let's go. We're out of here. You want...
hold on. Deserves a... She speaks so well. She speaks so well. All right, now we go from this, and now... we're going to go from this to Angela Davis, and I will give a shout out to shout out to Professor V on TikTok. It was her idea. She's the one who presented. Presented this clip by Angela Davis, and she had some comments about it at first. But so I'm giving her a shout out for finding this clip and sharing it with you. But I'm not going to play the whole clip. Again, the links to these videos will be in the show notes. But I'm not going to play her comments. I'm going to jump to the part of about Angela Davis. And it goes just for in the interest of time. Here we go.
Some very, very good.
Here we go. Hold on a second.
I grew up.
Oops.
Does it make it?
You know,
let's speak on it.
Whether I approve of violence, I mean, that just doesn't make any sense at all. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama.
Think about it.
some very, very good friends of mine were killed by bombs, bombs that were planted by racists. From the time I was very small, I remember the sounds of bombs exploding across the street, our house shaking. In fact, when the bombing occurred, one of the mothers of one of the young girls called my mother and said, can you take me down to the church to pick up Carol? We heard about the bombing, and I don't have my car. And they went down, and what did they find? They found limbs and heads strewn all over the place. And then after that, in my neighborhood, all of the men organized themselves into an armed patrol. They had to take their guns and patrol our community every night because they did not want that to happen again. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why when someone asked me about violence, I just find it incredible. What it means is that the person who's asking that question has absolutely no idea what black people have gone through, what black people have experienced in this country since the time the first black person was kidnapped from the shores of Africa.
It's kind of amazing how, I mean, maybe not that amazing considering the amount of violence was required to make it happen, but I was going to say it's kind of amazing the way white people managed to beat not vengeance, but convince us that violence is not the way. When they used nothing but violence to get us to where we are now. Yo, I'm Haitian. My parents, my parents come from Haiti. Were born in Haiti. I read about the Haitian Revolution. It was not a non-violent act. There was a lot of violence in that motherfucker. I remember reading accounts about it and some of the atrocities. I mean, it was atrocities. Condemning my ancestors, but it is what it is. Some atrocities they committed on the slave masters. I'm not saying, I would have loved to have been there. I'm just saying, the way violence was explained to us, we were lied to, man. Look, shout out to Angela Davis. I'm, this is me trying to compliment, add to what she said, but she said it perfectly, man. Hearing her reminded me of the first time I discovered Malcolm X and he talked about violence. And I'm like, well, that's taboo. And I'm like, at the same time thinking, well, what you're saying is taboo. Basically, he's talking about defending yourself. And says, what you're saying is taboo while thinking about, he's kind of making sense. He's kind of making a lot of sense. Anyway, what else do I got? Oh, right. Did I mention last Friday or was it last Thursday? I don't know if I mentioned on the last episode, but I guess it'll be there. I attended I went to a museum. That's right. Black people go to museums. I went to a museum. It's called in Ottawa, my local town. And okay, it's funny. A friend of mine, we went to this in Ottawa. There's a museum called the OAG. OAG, what does it stand for? Whatever, Ottawa, doesn't matter, right? And she was talking about she brought me there, or we went there initially for some exposition at the same museum for the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. We went there, right? But that was on the fourth floor. On the first floor, we walk in there, and it's filled with black people. Black people I've never seen before. Actually, it was only two black people that I recognized. Only towards there. But at the beginning, I'm seeing black folks I had never seen before, all dressed up like they're in church. And they're here, and they were there to attend some art gallery called "We Do Not Labor, We Do Not Dream of Labor." And at first, I was a little uneasy because I was, undressed, not dressed properly. Whatever. Also, I kind of get anxiety around a lot of art. I get anxiety around large audience. Something that happened during COVID lockdown. I guess I had gotten so comfortable to being alone. But I remember I first seen all these people and being like, fuck, man. Hope I don't see anyone I don't know. I hope I don't see anyone I know. And it turns out, didn't see anyone I know. Except for my homegirl, Sazy. Am I pronouncing her name right? Sazy. She's the producer who created the beat for my theme song. And I'm hoping to get some her help with something else. But whatever, right? She's a super producer. And she was there. I remember walking there. She yelled out my government name. She yelled out my government name. I'm like, someone knows me here. And it just felt like, I was nearly in tears. I'm like, oh, finally, a black person I know in here. Oh, my God, I'm getting off point. What I'm getting at is there was an art exhibit going on. And I had no idea what was happening. I looked at a few paintings. And then we went to the fourth floor to watch the exposition for hip hop, the 50th anniversary. Anyway, long story short, I get home, fast forward to maybe yesterday or sometime between now and the last episode. I decide to Google this exposition and I realize it was called We Do Not Dream of Labor. And I read the description. It's a little, not that it's long. I read the whole description and, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll just read the whole paragraph. I'm not going to read the whole paragraph. I'm going to read a few sentences. It goes, institutionally and systematically, rest is not a privilege we have been afforded. Our colonial history shows clearly that we were commodified, enslaved. Our labor was exploited and our well-being seldom prioritized. Okay, second set. Presently, having lived through a global pandemic that radically changed our way of existing, surviving capitalism and racism, working through socioeconomic burnout has become the norm. Yep. A dismantling and decolonizing of conditioned ideologies are needed for black people to stop surviving and start thriving. Rest is not given, it's a gift, and we can give it to ourselves. You know what? If I want to... the links will be in the show notes. But it had me thinking about this whole idea of, like EPMD said, you got to chill. But that's not the point, it's not what motivated me. It's not what inspired me the most about this or what got me the most is the one picture that's in there. And it's by an artist, Sabrina Niyagayu. Okay, I'm going to pronounce it in French because in English I screw up. Niyi Garouye, Son of God, 2011 photo, and it's 12 by 8. And the title of this piece got my attention. She says, an open conversation on masculinity. Now, the portrait is one thing. The title is what got me the most, is what got me. And two things happened when I thought. One is, it made me think about my own podcast. I realized one of the things that I hope to do with my audience is reevaluate or challenge the definition we were given about masculinity. This is the reason why I recently tweeted what if everything we were told as a child about masculinity was wrong. What if everything we were told what if everything we were told as children about masculinity was wrong? And I'm thinking I'm making that like the main, the main focus of this podcast or the attraction to this podcast. It's, let me put it this way, man. If you're a man and you see nothing wrong with the definition we've all been given about masculinity, that this podcast is not for you. You and I won't get along. I mean, on the surface, I'll pretend, I'll act, but in terms of actual connection, we will never get there. Because that's what I'm all about. I've been all about. Sometimes in my 40s, late 30s, at some point, I found the need to reevaluate the definition of masculinity because I was tired of constantly falling short to this definition. I'm like, wait, something must be wrong. The definition of masculinity, the definition of femininity, and the definition of, the definition or my understanding of relationships. In terms of this podcast, the main focus is on reevaluating the definition of masculinity. And this is also why you will hear me frequently say escaping, use the expression escaping the cult of masculinity. Because I believe the current definition of masculinity that we're working with is actually a fucking cult. I'm still figuring out how the definition of patriarchy, I know what patriarchy is, but a deeper understanding, like patriarchy bad, I know that. I'm just saying, I understand. Let me put it this way. Long story short, I've reached a point where all of a sudden, everything my feminist friends have been saying is making sense. I'm like, oh, I've reached a point where I'm no longer defensive against what they're saying. I'm like, holy shit. I reached a point where I actually believe I would be willing to move closer to a world where women were in charge. Let's try something different. Let's see how they do. Let's make them the reason. Let's blame them for the way the world works. But before we could do that, we got to let them take control. Like, I'd be willing to do that. And no, I am not saying all this shit as a tactic to get laid. This is for real, real. See, part of being a member of the cult of masculinity, the only time you show any kindness to a woman is because, you know, your objective is for sex. Anyway, in addition to saying this, I'm also realizing that maybe the kind of people who would appreciate this podcast would be the kind of people who would attend this exhibit on the first floor. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying initially when I was making this podcast, when I started, I was thinking of myself, another 48-year-old out there. But I don't know, man. When you reach 48, changing ideas is like fucking up there with the word impossible. I'm just saying, I just had a moment where I've been thinking about this exhibit. I plan on going there again to check out the portraits and maybe get to know some of these artists and whatnot. But all I'm saying is, you know, another reason why I noticed when I was leaving the exhibit and I saw these younger people, but younger than me, I should say. They're probably 20s, 30s. Just interacting, doing their thing. And a part of me felt jealous when I was leaving. I'm not jealous, more like envious. I'm like, I was looking at them like they're the future. What the fuck do I have to contribute? What exactly? Like, they're right now, the world is in their hands. I might as well just exit out the door. And I don't know. My therapist has me considering maybe that's your crowd. Maybe that's your tribe. Maybe you just discovered your tribe. Right now you're just hearing an idea being born. It's not fully fledged out. I haven't thought it completely through. All I know is after going to this exhibit, seeing all those people, I find myself leaving there with some ideas for myself and this podcast. Fuck. Sorry, I'm feeling good about myself right now. Just. I didn't know I was about to say what I just said. I should write this shit down, man. But yeah, here we are, man. So if you're in the city of Ottawa, I recommend you go check out this the exhibit. It's at the OEG. That's in downtown Ottawa. What is it? Open OEG is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Okay, when is this? They don't mention where this exhibit ends. Here's hoping it's there for a while. Okay, but whatever. Yeah. What else is on the ducket? Okay. I got a quote. Have you heard? Okay, at this point, I'm just being funny, right? So, you guys heard about the Usher and Keke Palmer situation? Keke Palmer went to an Usher concert, and Usher did Usher things and serenaded to her. And her baby, I mean, her boyfriend, father of her children, whatever. I forget what the relationship is, right? Got pissed and did some dumb shit. Look, it's not the getting pissed part that gets me. It's the doing some dumb shit and made it public. Showed the world and said, whoa, whoa, that's not how our mother should behave. Said some stupid shit on the internet. Made his relationship public. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is... So Usher Raymond decided to... Wait, is the video available? Usher Raymond decided to... Apparently, he's got a video coming out. Oh, shit, it's out! Oh, shit, it's out! The song is out! Okay, I don't think I'm allowed to play it.
Somebody say that your boyfriend's looking for me.
What?
Ooh, that's cool.
What's gonna happen? I'm gonna play this. You know, I'm gonna play the full thing, and if I get in trouble for it, I'll cut it out later. I'll cut it out and post edit. But for now, premiere. We're gonna hear this Usher boyfriend track. But where I was gonna go with this track was this is. I was gonna say where I was going. Okay, seriously, this is a surprise for me. I did not expect for this song to be out. And Usher song called Boyfriend. Keke Palmer's in the video, and I remember seeing this, and I'm like, damn, this is why. I'm never going to date a celebrity. No. What did I say? This is why I would never date outside of my stay within your league, fellas. Stay within your fucking league, right? I'm not saying if you're going to date a hot. Look, what I'm saying is that's mean. Like, it's one thing to date a girl. You piss her off. She gives you you don't intentionally piss her off, but you do something that pisses her off and you get the silent treatment. That's one thing. But to do a whole ass video about that shit, holy fuck. You don't get a nigga. I know the way a nigga was living is whack, but you don't get a nigga back like that. I'm a man with pride. You don't do shit like that. You don't pick up and leave me sick like that. So shout out to Jay-Z. But okay, all right, come on. Okay, I'm gonna play the song. And here we go. We're going to continue and play it. Here we go.
I'm pretty easy to find. Just look for me wherever he sees you. I go wherever you go.
Okay, so she's having a girl's night out.
I go wherever you go.
Okay, this is Usher is singing. Right now it's all Keke Palmer and her homegirl. Yeah.
Turn the lights on.
It seems natural for me to wander off to where you
are. Usher, put a shirt on, asshole.
Where you are in your head, cause I'm not in your bed. You just imagine.
Wow.
They dreaming about me. Oh, oh.
Yeah, man. This video is fuck yo, man.
Trying to be on your best behavior.
Oh, man.
Me on the low.
I can't say shit, man. I'm not in a relationship. I've been avoiding relationships because I can't. Long story, doesn't matter. I can't. I'll keep playing. All right.
Whoa, the taste of your thoughts, I can't wait to say. Somebody say that your boyfriend's looking for me.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, that's cool.
That's cool. Look at this nigga.
Well, you should know I'm pretty easy to find.
Ooh.
Just look for me wherever he sees you. Somebody say that your boyfriend's looking for me.
Uh-huh.
That's cool, yeah. If he could find a way to get in your mind, say he want me, that's all that he gotta do.
That's
I love this song. My eye is the same thing that makes me change. Woo!
Okay.
Do you remember where you were when you first heard this? Oh my gosh.
Man, it's just a video, fellas.
You need to sit down, this may take a while.
Period.
I go wherever you go. My best not to be all in your phone, but I know that's not what you want. Might as well keep some pictures of the two of us in your home. When you
okay, I gotta stop to say this video was made to get us talking. So I'd be on this podcast and interrupt my own show just to get now. This shit's gonna be longer. This episode's gonna be longer than I initially intended. But here we go. By the way, I'm purposely cutting up and interrupting because I'm kind of hoping this is the way I get to beat the, not censors, the copyright infringement, because I'm not playing. If you want the full song, go on the website. The link will be in the show notes, all right? This is me reacting. Exclusive. No, this is me reacting to a video I did not, I didn't know I had the link to. I was not expecting to watch right now, but here we go.
By yourself, I'm right behind
wow.
you.
Just like
yeah. Spray my fragrance on your skin. It will remind you.
What bothers me about
you of the times we linked up.
What bothers me of videos like this is
and the nights
I'm
we
too old to do this
of,
shit.
Girl. Somebody said that your boyfriend is looking for me.
Too old and too broke.
And that's cool. That's cool. Somebody said that your boyfriend was looking for me.
Yeah, I know what I just said.
That's cool.
Too broke
yeah.
and too old.
If he can find a way to get in
sorry,
your mind,
I'm buying into the
say he won't be that's all that he gotta do. I go wherever you go.
Guess that's the boyfriend calling to piss you off. So now the next scene is oh no, she didn't. Okay, I thought you were gonna wake up in the bed with Usher.
Yes. Hello.
Of course.
What time is it? Damn it, I missed the show. Shit, I'm so tired. I'm a mother, after all.
All the time.
Sorry, Kiki Palmer. Bravo. That's hilarious.
I was not expecting you to call me.
You know what? You know who this video is an attack on? And again, I'm not preaching. I'm not preaching. But this is an attack on any boyfriend who struggles with insecurity. But struggles with insecurity, like, it's like saying struggling with fear. It's one thing to be scared. Okay, no, I'm getting. Struggles with insecurity in a maladaptive, deals with insecurity in a maladaptive way. There we go. All right. Shout out to my therapist. All right. He introduced me to big words with several syllables in there. But deals with insecurity. Okay, look. I don't know any man who's that insecure. Or maybe, whatever. Okay, I'll speak for myself, right? I know insecurity is a thing for me. But I've learned to deal with it, to process it, to be in my mind and be like, hold on, calm the fuck down, B. So what? You just got a phone call from Rick Ross talking about your bitch is tiptoeing on his marble floors. Then you picked the wrong girl. You know what I mean? Do shit like that to realize that, hey, I'm with a good woman. She tells me I can trust her. I give her she's earned my trust. Because that's what relationship is about. If she tells me that's what it is, then that's what it is. You know what I mean? All I'm saying is what I love about this video. When I first started out saying you don't get a nigga back like that, by nigga, I was talking about an insecure type. Because overall, this shit is entertaining as fuck. Honestly, I think Usher just had a song or thought of a song and marketing at the same time. Damn, I'm excited. It's been a while since a song came out and I got all excited, but yeah, man, that's funny. All right, okay, let me get to the last part. Last part I had on my docket I was listening to an episode of 3GO, 3GO, Three Guys On podcast, and Rod and Karen was on there too. But what got me the most is they had comedian Larry XL. Now, for those who don't know, For those who don't know him, okay, he's a comedian. That's not the problem. The thing is, for me, it was a big deal because I've seen Larry XL. I've met this dude. I've seen him perform in Ottawa. And hearing him, seeing him on that podcast, just I felt like my two worlds were coming together, podcast and comedy. Listening to them started had me thinking of how I gave up on comedy. I gave up. I haven't done comedy in a while. But listening to them had me rethink, reevaluate, wondering, why the fuck did I leave? Because I got to tell you, some of the happiest moment I spent, some of the happiest moment I've had was on that stage during a great set, during and after a good set. Excuse me, I'm on a journey to being more authentic, but I'm also on a journey to being a less miserable person. And I think when I started out in comedy, I'm not going to diss. Okay, when I started out in comedy, I was surrounded by a bunch of supportive people. Sure, there was one or two assholes, a few white people that I didn't want, but they're not worth mentioning. But for the most part, I can tell you, I was surrounded by some supportive people. Gave me pointers and all that. But I felt where I hit that wall is the comedians I had around me could not help me find my voice, find my black voice. See, in Ottawa, because I live in Ottawa, and it's like, well, maybe things are changing, but the majority, like, it's, look, I live in Canada. They don't call it the Great White North just because of the snow. It's a lot of white people. And by when I say white people, I mean the kind who, why would you call yourself be black? Why you gotta make it about race? Like them kind of white people. Like they just don't, white fragility, fragile white people. A whole portion of my intro is dedicated to saying, hey, you white folks aren't gonna like this podcast. This podcast ain't for you. It's like to make a distinction that, yeah, we're from the same city, but we are two different people. What I'm getting at is, while I was listening to that episode, thoughts were going out about, yo, why'd you leave podcasts? I was actually reflecting. There's actually a deep reason to why I stopped. Did I say podcast? Comedy. Why I stopped doing comedy. But I don't have the time to. Like, I need to explore it even more. But what I can say is I do remember I felt like I reached a point where, in terms of finding my voice, the people around me couldn't help me with that shit. And I don't know, maybe I should do open mics in the States, in black areas or something like that. Maybe that's what it is. I think I need to do more open mics in front of a black audience. And not just black audience or an audience who fucking get it. Who understand that the jokes that I made came from actual pain and I converted it into a joke. It just, I don't know, sometimes it bothers me. I don't know, maybe that's not the point of an artist. Maybe I just need to understand what being an artist is. But sometimes it bothers me. It's something I've heard Jay-Z said. It's like when he came out with Reasonable Doubt, he was convinced that shit was dope. And he got 4.5 mics. Or he was disappointed by how it wasn't acclimated. Like it wasn't, he didn't feel it didn't get the appreciation it deserved. And here's the thing, the part that I can understand and what he's saying is, I only discovered Reasonable Doubt later, after it was after he came out with the Black Album. And that's when I'm like, oh wow, this guy's genius. This guy is kind of smart for a black guy. I'm kidding. I'm saying is you create this art and you're like, oh shit, this is dope. You know, what's that line? It goes, when the pen hits the paper, shit. You start writing things, and you see the cleverness in there, and you go to present it to people, and all they get is, oh, he said nigga. That's funny. That's the only part that... I don't know. I guess I was just... It bothered me to present in front of an audience who I didn't feel understood the joke, fully understood the joke. I got the laughters, but I felt like I didn't get the laughters that Maybe I'm overthinking it. I don't know. Okay. All I know is it's funny. Two thoughts. I just remember I was talking about podcasting at the music exhibit. Now, in terms of comedy, I think my next bet is to do an open mic in front of a black audience or something like that. Either a black audience or an audience that just gets it. Know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah. I think it would, I don't know, it's just something to think about, But with that said, I got to write in to 3GO and say, hey, y'all had Larry XL. I know that brother. I don't know him personally. I know him enough to give him the bro nod. I remember the first time I seen him, I feel like first time we crossed path, it was an absolute, I won't lie, big black dude was cutting my way. I'm like, we got security here? Yeah, fuck you. I grew up with white people, man. I see the world like they do, right? So he came up, and then I can't remember the comedian was beside me. He was like, hey, that's Larry XL, full name. And Larry, the look he gave me, the look we gave each other. First, it was like, I think I looked at him like, oh, wow, a black guy. Another black guy doing comedy. I mean, I know black people, but I was in Ottawa, right? I at the time, I just didn't realize, oh, he's from the States. Okay, that makes sense. But I remember going, wow, a black guy in a comedy club with me. All right, another black guy doing comedy. And then he looked at me like, hey, another black, a black guy. Because he's in Ottawa. Usually a lot of black Americans comes to Ottawa, the first thing they realize, like, where are the brothers and sisters at? Oh, my point is, he gave me a handshake, gave me a look and a handshake like there was like, what up, like family, like, oh, thank you, man, I feel like home, bro. You know, that look of, it was, c'est un gars chaleureux, man. Comment c'est chaleureux en anglais? He was chaleureux, he was, not heated, but he was warm. It was a warm embrace, that's what I felt. I felt the good energy. Anyway, whatever. In the show notes, I'm going to link the episode that I'm talking about. And you can check it out for yourself. Apparently, he's got an album, comedy album, you can check that he recorded in Canada. I don't know if he did it in Ottawa or Toronto, because Toronto's not really Canada. Ooh, B-Black is starting to fight. All right, okay. this is me being controversial. I warned you. Terrence K. Williams warned you I wasn't going to hold back. All right? I said it. All right? Fuck Toronto. Great. I can't go to Toronto. Them niggas are crazy. All right. I can't go to Toronto without security. Yeah. Okay. I know I said this would be by the hearing Larry XL on 3GO made me think. Right. But the last thought before I jump to the final thought is, right. Okay. So this last thought is something I found on Twitter, right? And, this one just got me. And it was a reminder that people don't know shit. Shout out to Satan. By Satan, I mean the account Satan on Twitter who posted this. And apparently, is there a date somewhere? Oh, yeah, February 13, 2009. And I imagine that's when Breaking Bad came out, right? So it's a post of Breaking Bad. And what's his name? Bryan Cranston is in the picture. And it's, but that's not the point. Someone commented. I love this comment. Someone comments. He goes, who the hell cast Bryan Cranston in a serious role, laughing my ass off. He's a comic actor, right? Because he used to be a Malcolm in the Middle. Back then, we only knew him from, I knew him from Malcolm in the Middle, right? He's a comic actor. He can't do such serious roles. The show will either get canceled or will be replaced. You know, I won't lie. I think a lot of us were like, this comedian, the comedy actor? But yo, he killed that role, man. I think he's shocked. Look, all I know is I'm impressed at the fact that, A, he accepted the role. He said, I could do it. Or someone had the vision and said, Bryan Cranston, this is shit for you. My point is, Breaking Bad became a success story. But it started out with the unknown. It started out with faith. It started out with, we're going to try something and it might not work. I'm just fascinated by that. All right, yeah, okay. I have a second section in the show notes. You'll notice it's called for your reading pleasure, or maybe I should say for your viewing pleasure. I'm going to change the title to for your viewing pleasure. And in the links, I got shit that I found on the internet worth sharing. I'm just going to make it a habit because for your viewing pleasure. Right. Because sometimes I find shit that I think I'm going to talk about on the show, but then it's, you know, but then I don't like going on too long. So, yeah, Melly Mel's response to Eminem, to the diss track he wrote. I talked about it on the last episode, but the official statement he made that's in the links, skills that pay bills and blasphemy is funny. Oh, you know what? It's in the link. It's links for you to check out if you have the time. All right, let's jump to final thoughts and get the fuck out of here. All right, here we go. Damn. All right. Okay. I talk a lot, do I? Don't I? I'm working on it. All right, final thoughts. Before I go into final thought, before I explain what's up with the title, where I got the title for this episode, have you ever, all I know is, have you ever been so angry with the world, at life? Just been so angry that you wanted to see the world burn. I want to start with that statement. Which brings me to the selection of today's title, all right? Missing a question mark here. Question mark. What's up with the title? Yeah. Burn Hollywood Burn. It's coming from the track by Public Enemy, Burn Hollywood Burn. It's the verse. It's the first verse by Chuck D. And, yeah, so the title, Smell the Smoke from All Around, is the last verse in that track, in Chuck D's track. In Chuck D's verse. It's the last part. But the reason why I was thinking of Burn Hollywood Burn is because a recent landline came out and it's about the movie The Blind Side. God damn it. All right. Now, the links will be in the show notes. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the gist of it is, who knew? White savior movies lie, right? And it goes, Michael Oher. God damn it. C'est d'anglais, puis vous l'êtes. Oher. Yeah, I'm going to go with Oher. Okay, so Michael Oher, subject of The Blind Side. You haven't seen the movie The Blind Side? Don't go see it. Petitioned a court with allegation that Sean and Leanne Tuohy. Look, I speak English, okay, but reading it, sometimes it's a struggle. All right, okay, so Tuohy, whatever. Never adopted him. You know what? I'm going to let my, okay, hold on. Tuohy never adopted him, but rather tricked him. You hear that? Tricked him into signing a document, making them his conservators and enriching themselves. Okay, I don't know what I know I've seen that word used for, what's her name? Britney Spears. And I'm actually not sure what a conservator is. And what do conservatives do? Oh, I guess in Canada it means something different. Oh shit. Conservatorship. Fuck it. Okay, I'm looking up the definition. Because if you're like me, a person responsible for the repair and preservation of work, art, building, or other things of cultural. Okay, in the U.S. Okay, so it is a United States term. A guardian or protector. The court does not need to appoint a conservator to handle an incapacitated person's affair. Okay, so the in the movie, they made it sound like, or the story that we all understood, I think even Michael Hoare thought, is he was adopted. Later he finds out, no, they're not, they didn't adopt him. They became his guardian protector. He was tricked into, okay. But here's the thing. That's some diabolic shit, because in the movie they made it sound out like that. So white savior came to save his life and adopted him into his family. Turns out they just find some legal paper that allowed them to enrich themselves from his career as a football player. And it's heartbreaking. It's a nigga got signed by Suge White. Sorry. Oh my God, that's funny. Right, okay. We're all going with this, right? So look. People been saying Blind Side has been a, it was a racist movie, right? the idea of a white woman coming to say, oh, it's the other thing, it's not just a white savior too, but it's also how they dumbed down his character. He was a huge, big black guy, but he was slow. And he couldn't make it into this world. His mom couldn't take care of him, so this white woman had to come, this white family has to come and save him, right? And I'm going to play this clip from the show We Didn't Get in Ottawa, a clip from Game Theory. Shout out to Rodimus Prime, who was a writer on that show. And we were given prophecy, right? It might be better if you watch it, but hold on a second. Okay, yeah. And I'm going to play a clip just to emphasize how racist, like this clip that I'm playing from Game Theory was before this article came out. But it's to reemphasize the idea of how black people, or most black people, have known this was a fucking racist-ass movie. So here we go.
Speaking of things that might be racist, the Oscars are this weekend. And if history is any indication, this year will be another amazing celebration of amazing performances. But we here at Game Theory think there's some white excellence that's actually being overlooked.
Welcome to the BAFTAs, the award show that honors the greatest moments in sports cinema. Tonight's category, Best Racist Performance in a Sports Film, and the nominees are point guard who knows all lives matter, Glory Road.
You think it's easy being on this team? Taking a backseat to you every day? We're the minority!
Apartheid Ted Lasso, Invictus.
Who is it, sir?
It is that terrorist Mandela. They let him out. Remember this day, boys. This is a day our country went to the dogs. Mm.
Aryan Racer, Cool Runnings.
Oh. You have no business here, Jamaica. You and your stupid friend playing like you are bobsledders. Yeah? Why don't you tourists go back to where it is you came from and leave the bobsledding to the real men?
Mister, your skin is your jersey. The Express.
Yes. Been waiting for these, I know it. There you go, Pee-wee. Put it on. I'm sorry, boys, that's all there are. Don't worry. The other team won't have any trouble recognizing you.
Because you're black.
And finally, all 2 hours and 9 minutes of The Blind Side. And the award goes to... All 2 hours and 9 minutes of The Blind Side, a movie where a scrawny white boy teaches a black kid how to play football using food jars. Congratulations to The Blind Side and all our nominees, because without these movies, white people would think racism is a myth.
Sometimes there's some white people I talk to and I'm like, everything you know about me and racism comes from some movie, doesn't it, huh? Yeah, man. And first thing when I heard about this story is I vowed to never, ever, 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 ever watch a white savior movie. But it did have me thinking, it's not just white people who enjoyed those fucking white savior movies. Black people did too. And you know what? And this is the part where I'm going to get personal. I'm going to say some shit that I'm not proud of. Again, this is one of those... I lived in this world, processed ideas, and I found myself. Oh, my relationship. I found myself. What's the word? Longing for having. Is the word affinity? Is the word affinity? Let me make sure if it's affinity. In affinity. Affinity. Because I'm going to say some shit that's going to be fucked up. I'm embarrassed to say it. But, you know, what's the point of affinity? Affinity, meaning. Oh, goddamn it. Meaning. A spontaneous natural liking sympathizing for someone. Oh. Accord, harmony. I need a specific word. Closeness to, understanding. Look, man, fondness for... a white savior, not just, I mean, in a movie, the idea of a white savior was more than fascinating to me. It was like, all I know is I think the reason why I grew up with that idea is because I grew up in a Christian household. And I've always known Jesus as a white person. And I remember going through racism, dealing with racism, and you know, be called the N-word, all kinds of read about how all the bullshit, how black people we've been getting our ass kicked, right? But the one white man who gave a fuck, the one white man who was like, I won't call you nigger, was this white character called Jesus. I don't know. It's weird how I found comfort in that idea that this white man who is the supreme being was like, hey, I mean, you guys could call them niggas, but I won't. I mean, I wasn't even sure if he sent racist people to hell, but it was just like, hey, all right. When you grow up with the notion of needing approval from white people, of looking at your humanity, like needing white people to approve your humanity, and then you have this Jesus comes up, this Jesus character created. It was like the ultimate. Basically, Jesus was the original white savior. And from there was, I'm trying to explain how learning about race, though, dealing with going through racism as a child and then being told about this white man named Jesus who, like, gave a fuck. He used the word love, you know what I mean? Yeah, Jesus loves me. Yeah, you know, all that shit, right? It was like, I managed to find comfort in that shit. This is as a child. This is what I didn't know better. And I guess it created some kind of addiction that I ended up liking this idea of a white savior. It just made it like, all this to say, I remember watching this Blindside movie and believing the hype and being like, please, please, some white woman needs to come in my life and save me from this racist world these crackers created. And this, the whole concept of a white savior also has me thinking about how, I swear, racism has got to be the greatest invention, the greatest thing white people created for themselves, not us. Because whether they choose to be against racism or practice racism, they fucking win. I think of all my relationship with white people. When I think about my my relationship with white people. Those that don't apply, you know, don't make me have to say it. Not all white people, but my relationship with white people, I swear, could be broken down into two categories. One, it's hate you, nigger. Sheer racism. Like, that's the two extremes. The one extreme is, I hate, look, man, if I could hang you, if I could lynch you and have a barbecue with my family, I would do it. There's that one extreme. On the other extreme is, I feel sorry for you people. Let me save you. Like, it's just, there was never, it was rarely in between. It was either these two, it was never like how two human beings should interact. It was always either hatred or pity. And the pity folks are, it's like guilty white people who are like, hey, let me try to not say nigger around that black guy. Let me try to be kind to this black guy so I could get into heaven. I don't know. It was like always every act of kindness came with strings attached. Now that I'm kind with you, I kind of need you to go tell these people that I'm not really racist. You know what I'm just saying? If you find me being a little, not insecure, but being a little miffy, wary around white people, it's because of that. It was always too extreme. There's always, when they did show kindness, it was always like a catch. So you take this movie of The Blind Side, they show you this white people being all, what's the word? Ambivalent. No. What did they say about God? Holy God. Not omnipresent, Ah, well, I hate when I do that. And whatever, this, it's a word about being great, overly kind. I usually say the word a lot. Anyway, whatever. White savior movie, Blindside, showing whiteness being white people being at their greatest, showing their greatest kindness to this lowly black people, black person who doesn't deserve this dumb, idiot black person who could be stealing your purse, but thanks to our whiteness, we civilized this person. Thanks to our contact, we civilized this Negro. We brought him into our house. They show you this, and we believed into that story, only to realize that, yeah, we didn't give a fuck about that nigga. We just wanted to make money off of him. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's all I'm saying is, to the white people who take offense to being saying, oh, well, not, to the white people who are like, not all white people. You know what's funny? The white people who always say not all white people tend to be all white people. Those people who say, if you're a white person, say offended by what I'm saying, yeah, I'm likely talking about you. So yeah, you go through the story of them being this, fuck, what's that word? God is, here, I'm going to put a God. It's a word that's usually associated with God is, God is, I really want to know what that word, not omnipresent, omnipotent. Is it omnipotent? Is that the word? It refers to powerful character. Yes, to say that God is omnipotent is to recognize that there is nothing outside his ability to accomplish and no one who can exercise power over him. No, it's another one. What are the three attributes of God? Omniscience, omnipotent, and that's the word. Omnibenevolent. Omnibenevolent. Jesus Christ, that was hard. Let me make sure I say that. Yeah, omnibenevolent. Yes. White people in the movie, they show themselves as being omnibenevolent. From a Latin, oh, their benevolence. That's the word I'm looking for. Jesus Christ, that was tough. Thank you for hanging around. Seriously, man, if you're listening to this podcast, you're one of the most patient human being out there. All right, so where was I? Yeah. The movie shows these white people as being omnibenevolent and then only to find out the reality is, yeah, we didn't give a fuck. You know, it just, I'm saying this shit right here is a reason why as a black person, you're like careful around white people, right? Not to say that all black people are angels, but I'm just saying this whiteness got y'all fucked up. This whiteness gives us reason to, yo, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to come in your house, but I'm not going to eat your food. I'm not going to sleep over. You know, it's giving us reason to be like, I got to watch my back around you people. Actually, what's funny is I'm staring at a picture. Haiti was trending. I'm staring at a picture of, I need to figure out what's going on in Niger. And I know what's going on, but to get the deepness in there. But I'm staring at a picture and they're showing, a picture of this general. Is this the, yeah, this general in oh, there it goes. So it's right there, right? This general in Leader Haiti et Leader Etats-Unis. Sorry, okay, it's in Creole. Leader Mali. Okay, so this leader in Mali, and he's shaking hand with Putin. And on the other side is some president from Haiti shaking hand with Biden. And I guess the point of this picture is, yo, black people, man, we need to start hanging out with them Russians. And I'm saying, look, if based on our fucking history, there's never been a good white, there's never been a if white people are beefing, there's no such thing as, oh, he's better or they're better. This group is better than they got our back. No, man. If you're going to deal with white people, you got to get in and get the fuck out. That's my point. Yeah, because if they're shaking hands with you, there's a catch. Or know that this relationship is not based on friendship. It's based on necessity. It's based on I need something from you. I'm reading the for those who don't know, I mentioned this on the past episode. I'm going through the book of the Game of Thrones book. I'm going through it again. And it's basically dealing with white people is like dealing with Littlefinger. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't trust them. Don't fucking trust them. Not all white people. I'm not talking about all fucking white people, but I'm just saying the president or whatever, the leader, whoever's it running Niger is deciding to go with Putin, whatever, man. I mean, fuck, do what you got to do. Fuck France. Fuck the Western world. For all I know, I can't tell you who's better. Here's hoping you did your research, but no, get in, get out. Same thing should apply for us in this part of the continent. Like, we're getting way too comfortable with these white folks. I'm just saying, this concept of friendship, you know what? All this comes down to, okay, I'm going to end this here. All this comes down to when making relationship with people, not everyone is willing to be your friend. What's that quote? It goes, a friend to all is a friend to none. I mean, yeah. I'm going to quote Sister Soldier. Know your enemy from your friends. That's really what I'm trying to get at. Know your enemies from your friends. So shout out to, where was I going with this? Yeah. So when I decided to pick the title Burn Hollywood Burn, I was thinking about burning Hollywood, but I was also thinking about a moment in my life where I was feeling a lot of rage and I remember, and I related to Killmonger. I remember to not just Killmongers, but all the villains. It's like, reaching a point where, look, I'm so angry, I just want to see, no rhyme or reason. Fuck the money, just want to see the world burn. I'm hurting, and I want the rest of the world to hurt with me. I remember reaching that point and thinking, you know what? I understand supervillains now. I get them now. I really understand. Fuck Superman. Fuck Batman. Fuck Thor. Every motherfucker from Asgard. Any good guy. Not the Black Panther, all right? You know, like, I understand Killmonger. I understood Killmonger so much in that moment. Just wanted to see the world burn. But in this particular situation, I just want to see Hollywood burn because they made me mad. Fuck you, Blindside. Blindside. I did well. You know, I won't lie. I did enjoy the movie the first time I watched it, but that's only because of the whole, I had a thing for this white savior. But now that I got knowledge of self, fuck Blindside. Because I was, get it, blindsided. I should have said, I was blindsided. Get it? All right. Get it? Hold on a second. Because you guys are going to do it for me. But I know. Who am I kidding? That joke deserved a... I just wanted to play some sound clips before I ended this episode. All right, this concludes. You know what? I kind of enjoyed this episode, man. This concludes today's episode. I am actually feeling good about it. Holler at me. As usual, holler at me. You can, if you're on the internet, you can find me on Twitter via the, well, while Elon Musk hasn't brought it to the ground yet, hasn't fucked things up. Oh, my God. Okay, you can find me on Twitter at using the handle BBlizzak or Shut Up Podcast. Or on TikTok via the handle B.Black. Facebook? Nah, fuck Facebook. I'm working on it. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Did I mention that the show notes are on the website? Yeah, you should know that by now. Yeah, you should subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, so like on the main page, or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. I'm going to be on other sites. Actually, that reminds me. I need to load myself. I just got an email from Amazon. I got an email from Amazon. Go, hey, put your podcast on Amazon. And I felt like Jeff Bezos wrote that email. At least that's what I'm trying to tell myself. Kiki Palmer, holla at me. Fuck your man. All right? Amazon is hollering at me to get my podcast on it. Only me. Me and only me. It's an exclusive email from Amazon. I'm bullshitting. All right, okay. Yeah, so subscribe, Apple Podcasts. Yeah, okay. All right, yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.
I am your king now.